the McDonald's Funky Grill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Grill Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another episode of the Viking Round Ball Podcast, the podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings, he's looking a little nicer this week than he did at this time last week. Hello, Coach. Coach Matt Combs.
How's it going?
Fa-la-la-la-la.
There you go.
Yeah, it is the holiday season, you know.
You got your shopping done?
I haven't even started shopping. I haven't even started thinking about shopping. Hell, it's only the 18th of December, Matt. Where's your head?
I don't know.
I know you've got all the time in the world.
Yeah. We got a jump start on, man. We're doing pretty well this year.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. It kind of scares me, actually.
I see you being like an online kind of
shopping. Like online, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't like fighting the stores, but no, we got a little jump start. I mean, I got to give most of the credit to my wife. She went out and attacked some of it early and got a lot done. So I think we're in pretty good shape.
Well, good deal.
Yeah.
All the kids, they're both of them real jacked up, ready for Santa Claus.
Yeah, they are. They're getting pretty excited. Christmas parties at school this week and stuff like that. So they're pretty fired up.
Well, you seem to be a little fired up. Little bit more bounce in your step this week as you guys put two wins together. One against River Valley last Tuesday night, December the 12th, and then this past Friday night, December the 15th. By the way, we are recording this on Monday afternoon, December the 18th, in case you cared. But anyhow, two wins get you to back to 2-3 for the season.
Right.
As you kind of get into the guts of the TVC Ohio League play, as you wheel off two wins this past week, and then got a very big week coming up here with tomorrow night, the Megs Marauders coming to town and the Alexander Spartans. If you hold serve tomorrow night against Megs, this game coming up Friday night against Alexander will be a biggie. We'll get to that in the third segment. Do have a nice guest this week.
Kind of
got the spur of the moment. We do this Where Are They Now kind of thing. We've been doing that sporadically for the past, I don't know, 3-4 years. And going to bring in a very recent graduate of Vinton County High School and played for you and was a very key component kind of in a utility role in the 2016 team that won you your second, was it your second district?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Barnett. He was accepted to the Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He is back in town for a couple weeks, or, 10 days, something like that, over the holidays. So Tyler's agreed to come in, and he will be in studio with us here in the next several minutes. But in the meantime, we got some games to talk about. Like we talked about the River Valley Raiders going down there to Bidwell last Tuesday night, December the 12th, and you guys wheel off a 69-63 win. Coach, is something that, River Valley's not necessarily put together many wins this year. I think they've only won one game this year, and that was beating Megs this past Friday night. But they came out and they shot the three ball very well and really kind of pinned you in a corner after the first quarter. You guys found yourself down 26-18, and I know on the road on a Tuesday night in TVC League play, you could not have been very happy, especially when you go into that game with an 0-3 record.
Yeah, no, it was exactly what we didn't want at the start of a game. You got to give them a lot of credit. I think they had three or four different guys make shots, and so it wasn't just like we were getting killed by one guy. I mean, they really spread it around, and the credit to our kids, I suppose, is offensively we had a pretty good quarter, which held us in the game. I think we were down 26-18 or something at one point there at the end of the quarter, but obviously that's a really bad defensive quarter. But offensively, you held yourself in, and then we had a great second quarter. Yeah. I think we 17-6 in the second quarter. We were able to really defend a lot better then. And really after that first quarter, I thought, you know, third quarter, we had another good quarter. I think we won that quarter by 5 or 6. And
21-16 in the third.
Yeah, and then they made a little bit of a run there in a fourth. Give them credit for that. But they're a team that can spread you out and make shots. And I told him at the end when we shook hands, Coach Drummond, I said, you know, look, I was like, you know, hang in there because you're probably going to beat somebody. It was the comment I made because, right. You know, the way they shoot the ball. And sure enough, then they hit a three at the buzzer the other night to beat Meg. So it's, you know, when you have guys that can make shots, you're dangerous. And, you know, that kind of makes them a little bit dangerous.
Final score 69-63. Vinton County, as you mentioned, you came back in that second quarter, outscored them 17-6, went into the halftime with a 35-32 lead, then kind of busted it open in the third quarter, outscoring them 21-16 to bring your lead to 54-48. And then the final fourth quarter, they outscored you 15-13. En route to your 69-63 TBC Ohio win. As far as team stats for Vinton County, from field goal percentage, you guys shoot 54%. Beyond the arc, you were 7 of 19 for 37%. From the free throw line, not very good. 4 of 8, only 50%. As far as points in transition, you had 5. Points off turnovers, 15. Second chance points for Vinton County, 16. Points in the paint, 44. As far as rebounds, you guys both, River Valley and Vinton County, had 28 apiece. As far as turnovers, Vinton County had 11 to River Valley's 12. As far as team scoring, Jake Speakman leads the Vikings again with a nice 34-point for performance. Eli Griffith, Nalen Yates both have 10 for the Vikings, as does Sean McCarty. He had 8, and Bryce Dameron chipped in with 2, as well as Cameron Hammond with 5 points. As far as boards go, looks like Bailey Bartow had 6, Cameron Hammond had 4, Eli Griffith with 3, Bryce Dameron with 3, and Nalen Yates with 2. Also, Sean McCarty with 3 rebounds for the Vikings. So, a pretty good, it was a little tighter than what you would have wanted, I guess. But at this juncture, when you start at 0-3, beggars right. Can't be choosers. So, get your first win with the TVC Ohio, and then come home this past Friday night, December the 15th, to take on a backyard rival in the Wellston Golden Rockets. Coach Briggs in his, is this his second year, I think?
Second or third. He's been there a while because he was coaching there before.
Right.
I can't remember.
His varsity coach.
Yeah. No, does a nice job with them. I think has them going in the right direction for sure.
Well, it was a very nice crowd there Friday night. Now, I would like to give some props to the band director, Kevin Neese.
Yeah.
Is that his name? The band.
Yeah. The band's been great. They were really much improved in football this year, too. I mean, one, numbers have improved, and that's big when you're going to sound better when you have more. And he does a great job here, and it was really nice to have him.
Well, it was a clean sweep for the night as the freshman and JV team both chalk up victories in the early two games, and then you guys get your varsity game underway and jump out to a 19-18 first quarter lead with a 39-28 halftime lead en route to the final win of 69-51, a game that I didn't get to see a lot of the tape with River Valley, but it did. It was good to see Nalen Yates back.
So yeah, Nalen first came back was Tuesday, obviously, and we were glad to have him back. And he's not quite 100% yet, but he's getting there. I think he had, like you say, 10 on Tuesday, and then bounced back with 23 there on on Friday. So. You know, he's starting to catch stride a little bit. The nice thing about having him back, I mean, besides the obvious of, you know, he gives you some production, but him and Jake, I think, really feed off each other. We've talked a lot to those two guys. They obviously can both score it. When they play unselfishly and play together, you know, good things happen. I think, if my memory serves me correct, and I'm sure you have the stats there, I think combined those guys scored over 40 in both games this week and had over 10 assists between the two of them in both games this week.
Yeah, they did. In the Wellston game, Jake had, he had 8 assists. Nalen had 3 assists. And of those assists, of Jake's 8 assists, 5 of them were to Nalen.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When those guys,
2 for him.
Yeah. Right, when those guys start clicking together and it really makes it hard to guard us. And, it's something that we try to preach all the time in terms of unselfishness. So it's, you know, when your best two players are unselfish, that kind of leads the way for the rest of them, I think. So, yeah.
As we mentioned, you guys jump out to a one-point first quarter lead, then really double up Wellston with a 20-10 second quarter. You go in at 39-28 at the half and then extend that lead to 60-41 after three quarters en route to that 69-51 win for the Vikings as they notch up their second TBC Ohio Conference win. As far as team stats goes for Vinton County, shoot 47% from the field. From beyond the arc, you were 8 of 23 for 35%. Again, from the charity stripe, I'm not trying to make a point of it, but you were 1 of 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Work on that.
Yeah, that's not, it's not, not quality.
Not quality. Okay, moving right along.
I don't know why I know it's a dynamite drop, and I don't know what you want me to say. Like, no. Hey, I'd like to make more.
We just try to be very transparent in this podcast. We've done this long enough. I'm not going to, you know, just point out the obvious.
Yeah.
As Magic Johnson would say, when you shoot 7 free throws and you only make 1, that is not good.
Right.
All right. Points off turnovers, 27. Points in the paint, 40. As you notice, as the season goes along, a lot of points in the paint. Not only is that indicative of Bryce Dameron and Eli Griffith, but Jake Speakman, this just in, the kid likes to go to the rack.
Well, and I do want to say real quick, you mentioned Eli and Bryce.
Eli played a great game.
Yeah, and Cameron has really been good too. All three of those guys, you know, and I thought the other night they really played strong. I mean, I've been a little disappointed in at times, quite frankly, as a group, their effort and, you know, defensive intensity, rebounding. I thought the other night they got all over the boards, and because Wellston actually has two pretty good post players, and that was kind of our concern going in. So, yeah, I mean, I was real happy with the bigs last Friday night.
Only had 8 turnovers for the game, only 10 fouls for Vinton County, 3 steals. As far as personal stats, you did mention Nalen with game-high 23 points, Jake Speakman with 17, Eli Griffith double-double, he had 10 points and 11 boards, Bryce Dameron had 8 points and 5 rebounds, Cameron Hammond had 2 points with 2 rebounds, and Sean McCarty, who's been a nice one of those guys, and he kind of takes, it seems like I think you and I have talked about it, pretty much everyone that's scouted you or playing you knows, you know, you got to go after Speakman and Yates as far as Nalen until, you know, but Sean's been a nice addition, especially shooting the three, and I think his defensive play's gotten a lot better as the season's going along.
Yeah, I mean, they came out and kind of went a little triangle in two on Nalen and Jake to start the second half, and Sean hit back-to-back threes, so when that happens, obviously it makes life a little easier.
Yeah, number 42, was that the
Simpson? Yeah.
Simpson kid, he had 12 for Wellston, and number 40, they're big.
The Smith.
Smith, yeah, he had 8 for the Rockets. As you guys pick up the TBC win and get your league record back in the winning way of 2-1 in TBC Ohio and 2-3 overall. So, coming up next, part of our Where Are They Now?
Yeah,
they're setting right in our studio.
I mean, you know, we're lucky to have Tyler in here and Tyler Barnett, and we mentioned that earlier. And I'm anxious to ask him a few questions. I told him we're going to try to throw him some softballs. We're not going to try to burn him. And I'm not going to ask for top government secrets either. You know, even though
he could tell you they're classified.
He's in the know.
He's in the freaking academy.
Yeah, but
he knows. He knows him. He could tell you.
But he's been.
But
over,
then he'd have to kill you.
He's been at. Yes.
And you wouldn't like that.
He's over at the high school. He's been owing me for a couple of years. He's been over at the high school all day. You know, there's been some different things going on where they had some graduates in today, so he's kind of had a long day. So we'll get him in and get him out. But we're anxious to talk to him.
All right, we're gonna take a break so Combsy can go to the bathroom. We'll be back as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Coach Combs, being such a cut-up. Off air, whatever you want to call it. I'll give you time to go to a potty break, and you just come in here with an attitude, don't you? You win 2 games, you think you're Mr. Funny Man, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I guess I should be a little more humble.
No. I'm just joking. Last week you were 0-3 and you were a dumpster fire when you were in there. I'm sure our guest here can attest to Coach Combs, the defeated dumpster fire guy. Yeah, he gets monkey face.
He's probably seen the worst.
He's seen the worst.
Dazed, confused, and doesn't want to talk to anybody or anything like that. Happy to welcome in our guest, a 2016 graduate of the Vinton County High School and one of your former players who helped you get that district title in 2016. Now a sophomore at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Happy to welcome in none other than Tyler Barnett. How you doing?
Yeah, doing good. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. 2 years in the military academy. I know that, you know, that's a big deal just getting in and probably, quite honestly, and I'm preaching to the choir, the physical, mental, emotional, you know, requirements when you get into the academy, they're tough. But how have things been going for you in the past year and a half, and how are things going?
Well, freshman year was full of a lot of physical stress and mental stress, a lot of military training going on.
Right.
But this year it's been a lot more academic stress, classes getting harder and that sorts of thing. Been put in charge of a couple people, being able to help them out through the year, but it's been going through.
I'm sure in the back of your mind, any recruiter, anybody that has gone through the academy that you talked to prior to getting accepted in there, you knew it was going to be tough, but when your parents dropped you off at the airport or, you know, whatever, hugged you and you left, that first 6-8 weeks, couple months, was it worse than you thought it was going to be? I won't say worse, but more challenging.
Oh, those first 6 weeks of basic were very difficult. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew they were going to push me physically and everything like that, but I wasn't really ready for the mental stress that we was getting. I wasn't ready for all the stuff we had to learn, the military ranks and the knowledge and all these quotes that we had to be screaming off while we were doing all the PT.
Really?
So, I mean, it was difficult, a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and I that's kind of the question I was going to ask. I don't know. It was interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, obviously, the beginning of anything's tough, you know, when you first go away, and this is a little different situation than the normal college student, so it was difficult, I'm sure. But, like, now, like you say, you know, is it you've got different challenges, you know, right. What I mean? So, like, is it easier now than it was then? I mean, now that you've got your feet wet, so to speak, and you're there, or are these new challenges, hey, they're just as tough? Or, I mean, you know, how's that been for you?
Well, I mean, the biggest challenge last year was kind of, I mean, the homesickness was a little difficult. Right. You know, the first time away from home and everything. This year, that's gotten a lot better, and I'm really enjoying my time out there more than I was. But this year, like I said, the academic stress is hitting hard, having a lot more rigorous coursework. And then also, last year, I was really just worried about myself. You know, they didn't really put me in charge of anybody, and that's not a freshman kind of thing. But as a sophomore, I've been in charge of two people directly. So having all their stresses kind of on me, too, it's been a great leadership experience, but it's been difficult.
Is that kind of part of the program there at the upperclassmen, a sophomore, that you have one of your responsibilities, in addition to your own academics and military stuff, is you kind of mentor some freshmen? Is that kind of the way it works?
Right. So as a freshman, you know, you're really just worried about yourself. But as you move up, sophomores are directly in charge of one freshman every year. And then as you move up, juniors are in charge of multiple freshmen and sophomores. Huh. And then seniors can be put in big leadership positions where they're in charge of a lot more, usually entire squadrons. It could be up to 100 people.
Wow.
Now, do you see some parallels, obviously on a much less important scale and not as, I get it, but do you see some parallels between sports and like, because like some of the things you're saying right now, like as a freshman, I just had to worry about myself. And as I got older, I had to be a leader and I had to, you know, it's kind of like that in sports, right? You're trying to, when you're young, you're just, hey, I'll just worry about myself. And now all of a sudden I'm a senior, I got to be a captain or I got to be. And then like, I'm assuming, obviously being a part of a team and accepting your role and what you're asked to do. I mean, these are some of the same things. You know, I think back to that team you were on and you know, how you started for us and Nalen came off the bench, which required, you know, him to accept the fact he was coming off the bench and was a pretty good player doing it.
Right.
You had to accept the fact that, hey, I'm starting and I'm getting after this guy early and I'm guarding the other team's best player, but my minutes may not be as much as somebody that's coming in behind me. So the role acceptance, all that, you know, it sounds like, you know, there's some parallels there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, starting here at the program, being on the freshman team, I accepted the fact that I was a freshman and I worried about myself and, you know, the freshman team. Moving up, sophomore year, you know, we had all those great guys up above us. We had Alex Owings still playing for us. And, you know, taking everything that he has taught me back then, you know, I was able to apply that as I was a senior and right. trying to lead all the younger guys that we had below us.
Now, one thing with now that we're kind of talking the parallels between what you're doing now and your past in sports, one little wrench we're going to throw in the fire is that in addition to getting accepted to a military academy and at least thus far making it, and I'm sure that you get through that first year, and I think that speaks at any college. That's tough. You're away from home. It's you know, it's easy. I remember Coach Combs saying, you know, it's real hard. And I think one of your old coaches said, it's real easy to be a star in high school, but when you have to pack all your stuff in a bag and move away.
Right.
Was that Grease or Coach Lovely?
No, I was actually a guy by the name of Tim Daly, Coach Football. He said, when you throw all your stuff in a sack and move on out on your own, it becomes different, which, you know.
But to add something more to that, and I don't know if a lot of people realize this, you are a manager for the Air Force Academy Falcons men's basketball program, correct?
Yes, I am.
And I take it that just takes just a teeny little bit of your time.
I'm averaging usually like 20 some hours a week putting into practice hours, and that's without me even traveling to away games yet.
Okay, so you're not even going on the road with them.
I haven't been able to yet. We're traveling next semester, whenever it starts.
But, did you go out there with that aspiration, or how did that happen?
No, I mean, it kind of just fell in my lap, actually. So I was mentioning that I'm in charge of some freshmen,
right.
But as I was a freshman, one of the basketball players was in charge of me.
Okay.
So I was running out of things to do. I was getting bored, you know. I mean, not a whole lot to do out there as a freshman. So mm-hmm. I ended up asking him if they needed any managers, and he said they were looking for him. So I ended up having a bit of an interview or tryout or whatever you want to call it. And they picked me up, and I've been with them ever since.
Wow. That's got to be cool.
Two things. One, I don't know if I ever told you this, Carl. Last year, Dante Jackson. Remember Dante Jackson?
Yeah, we were going to have
Greenfield.
Him on.
Yeah, he was with them, and he's taking a job, I think, at Robert Morris now. But as a manager, I think managers at the college level, it's kind of a cool thing. It's kind of a neat job. Tell the listeners a little bit about like what your responsibilities are.
After class, I get out, and I make sure the gym and everything's set up before the players get out on the floor. So they're usually watching film or hitting the weight room. While we're out there setting balls up, making sure the rims are down, floor's clean. So we got a lot of responsibility as far as that goes, because we've been, you know, our coaches have stressed the importance to us about how important that is, you know, time management and getting the players in and out as soon as they can, but also just making sure they're healthy. We kind of cater to their needs a little bit, and mm-hmm. if they need, you know, we take care of everything from gum to sweat towels, making sure they're healthy, not slipping on the floor and things.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're involved a little bit within the practice too,
stuff. We jump into drills, and we're able to play some defense a little bit, and I was actually complimented this year on how well I play defense.
There you go.
Wow. Complimented on the offense, yeah. But
Coach Kite and Coach Carpenter did a wonderful job at the time.
Well, you know, I was listening to a podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts of college coaches. Just I like to hear, you know, what they say. And They were talking about the role of managers the other day, and he was saying that the best managers get this idea of they ask the question when they come in, what can I do to help, not what can I get out of this. You know what I mean? And I think the best managers have that mindset of what can I do to help today. You know, and I'm sure you've probably seen that a little bit. You know, with the different managers you work with.
Right. Yeah. You know, some of the managers come in, and you can tell that. Well, not really sure why they're wanting to be in today. Just kind of, you know, slugging their feet and dragging along a little bit. But it's always good whenever the managers are hyped up a little bit and have a little bit of extra energy whenever the players are burnt out. And
right.
you can tell when they get back from a road trip and maybe taking a tough loss that they're struggling a little bit. But, you know, when we step in with practice and got a little bit of spark going, that they enjoy that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'd say it helps, and especially because coaches, I can tell you, sometimes don't have it that day. They're a little bit down or they're a little bit tired. And to have those extra voices, I'm sure it's big.
Yeah. Now, I know that you just came, you're kind of on a speaking tour today, because you and this high school had not only yourself, but a lot of recent Vinton County graduates out there to talk to some of the students. And, you know, a topic that's kind of came up, and just in talking to you before we went on air, I'm sure that you're very proud of yourself, but most military people, they still know that they put their pants on one leg at a time, and you know that they've been through it. And I know that you've been talking to some of the Vinton County students. I guess one of the things I would kind of ask of you is, having gone through what you've gone through so far, And it's a long way. It's not like you're going to OU or Rio Grande and you can hop in your car and mom will cook you a dinner and do your laundry. It's a little different gig. If you were to give advice to a high school, just a regular student or a student athlete, because so much of the time it seems like, and I'm not, there's nothing, don't, no read between the lines here, but you see kids that are real successful in high school, be it academically or athletically, and everything's all fine and dandy, and at graduation they're going to go away and they're just going to be this and that and they're going to be great, and then it doesn't work out. If you were to give advice to someone aspiring to be a college athlete or go away to a very prestigious academic place, what would it be? I mean, what have you learned?
The biggest thing I've learned is just it's all about the mental attitude. You can prepare in high school to be smart and prepare academically.
Right.
You can prepare yourself to study for those hard classes and that kind of thing. But you can't prepare yourself for the difference that it's going to be to not living away from home and not have that familiarity around you. You're not going to have your, you know, the friends that you grew up with, the people you grew up playing basketball with, and you won't have those same coaches. So it's really just the mental strength, being open-minded, being able to adapt and have that grit to to adapt and change and roll with the punches as they come.
Were there ever any times that you really thought I don't think I can get through this?
Well, I'll be honest with you, there are plenty of those times, but I mean, you know, every day at the academy we say take it one meal at a time. You know, you can only, that's as far as we try to plan and look forward to, because you know, one meal at a time, you can make it that far. You know, trying to make it 6 months before your next break is a little difficult, but when you're looking at it is, you know, I got to get to lunch today. You can make it that far. So we just try to break it up into small pieces, and it usually gets you through it.
Good deal.
Yeah, that's I like that. That's kind of neat. I've never heard that before. But before we let you get out of here, and I know we told you we wouldn't keep you forever, tell everybody, I want to give you a chance, you know, just to tell us, you know, what your goals are, kind of what your, you know, you can tell the people sort of what you've done to this point, because I know there's some people just curious, you know, what you've done and kind of where you're going.
Okay. So I've always wanted to serve in the military. So, I mean, I intended on going to the academy so I could commission as an officer. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm a year and a half in. I got 2.5 left. And at the end of this, I'm going to get commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Air Force. I'm wanting to get in and go to pilot school after I graduate, be able to fly some fighters, fly some close air support with either A-10s or the F-35, maybe even the 22 if I'm lucky. But yeah, that's the goal, make a career out of it, and hopefully retire after about 20 years.
Wow.
That's that's, you don't hear that every day. That's pretty impressive stuff.
But that 20 years is,
you know, those people deserve it too after 20 years because you put the time in. You know what I mean? And you, and obviously, you know, all the military people, what they, you know, the risk they put up for guys like us to hang out and do this, it's pretty special. But man, I appreciate you coming in, dude. It's miss you a little bit, you know. I always miss some of my former players, but it's nice to see you doing well.
All right, Tyler, thanks for stopping by, thanks for your service to our country, and enjoy your, how long are you in town? Or
be until after New Year's, so I gotta fly back on the second.
Good deal.
All these guys are wanting me to get some scrimmages together.
We have not.
See, I got a text from Max Ward today. Coach, I'll be back in town. Like, I'm supposed to just, you know, up and scrimmage now.
No, I mean, and Tyler remembers the old has-been teams, usually Wednesday. Late practice. Yep. And so, I mean, for how many years did Coach here bring in, like, recent grads that would come in and just beat you guys to a pulp?
I tell you what, we'll have to do something. When did you say you're going back?
Second.
Okay, we'll have to do some. Last year we did something around kind of like Christmas time. We brought some guys in. We had a bunch of guys come in. We got kind of a weird schedule this year where we play a couple times, but we'll definitely get you guys in there.
All right, Tyler, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks for having me.
Tyler Barnett on the Viking Roundball Podcast. We'll talk about upcoming games as the podcast rolls on right after this.
You know, I kind of – that was a good interview.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing him.
I did too. The only bad thing about it, yep. I mean, it's really impressive. A military academy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The only bad thing about this whole thing.
What's that?
Is when you have graduates and former players like him that come in and tell how well they're doing and are still humble and contrite and respectful.
Right.
The only bad thing is it makes you look good.
It doesn't make me. Hey, that makes that makes his parents and his
obviously
look good.
It ain't me, man.
He's one of a kind for sure. And it's been he's had a good run of things. We hope that he can meet those goals that he talked about and reach those heights. He was such a great kid to have in high school because he, like we talked about, he accepted his role. He did what he was supposed to do, and he wasn't. And I'm not saying that. And he was. I'd say this if he was sitting right here. He wasn't the most talented kid on the team. He wasn't the best athlete. He just sort of grinded it out, worked hard, did what he was supposed to do, and it worked for us. We found something on that team that worked, and we found an identity. And next thing you know, we had something special. So
Looking back on that team, you did. You had people like him, Sean Cottle, that maybe weren't the most athletically basketball oriented, but just a group of kids that were just gritty and would run through a wall for you. And I know that,
and accepted their role and didn't, the last 2 years we've had obviously a lot of scorers, and that means you got to share the ball and everyone's got to take a little bit of a, we talked about it with Nalen and Jake earlier. I think our program, I'd like to think, is built on unselfishness. That's what, if I could pick any one thing, I would say that. Even if I had to go through years with less talent, if I could just have unselfishness, I've told our kids on this team, and here we are at 2-3, and you mentioned last week, I was down in the dumps or whatever. Obviously losing's not fun, but like I've told this team, I can handle it. If our attitudes are good and we're playing as hard as we can play and we're treating each other right and we're unselfish, look, this is a process. It's not like the world's going to come to an end when you lose a basketball game, but what makes it really tough is when you don't have quality kids to coach, and I've been fortunate we've had that.
Yeah, and it's honestly, as much as I like to goof around with you, it is a testament. I mean, I'm not trying to, he's had some great parenting, good network of friends, great teachers, great education. And then the work that you've done in other sports that he was involved in, like you said, he's a kid that works hard. And I think if you talk to anybody that's successful, they'll tell you straight up, sometimes you might not be the best at something, but if you just stick it out and just keep going and don't quit, things will fall around you, but you'll still be standing. So
it's a lot of it's just attrition. You just outlast, and you grind it out. So
Well, with that being said, we got some games to talk about, Coach. Actually, some big games. Not trying to put pressure on you, as we kind of got a big week as everyone's got holiday stuff going on. And despite that TBC league loss up at Nelsonville a week and a half ago, you take care of business this past week with River Valley and Wellston. And we mentioned you're in the midst of a three-game homestand, which happens to be a three-game league homestand, beating Wellston last Friday night. And then come tomorrow night, December the 19th, the winless. And that sounds odd to say because Coach Ed Fry down at Meigs has had a lot of success over the last couple of years. Meigs comes to town. They have I think it's an 0-7 record. They lost at the buzzer on a three-pointer to River Valley last Friday night. They're coming in tomorrow night, the 19th, and I'm assuming you've at least looked at tape, if not gone and scouted them. They're banged up.
Yeah, both. Well, they're not. I think they're about healthy now. That record, first of all, means really very little because here's the deal: they played a very tough schedule early. Played.
They haven't had a
first
home
of all.
Game yet.
They had one. I was actually at that one, but they had. They've had one home game in seven games. They've had. They've played the likes of a Gallia Academy, who's really really strong this year. They've played Warren without players that night. They've played. You mentioned they were banged up. They've played two or three games without half their team.
Wow.
So you're looking at a lot of different factors has played into this. Make no mistake about it. This team is in my mind still one of the top half teams in our league, and a scary, scary team because they've got three guards that can play. They've got three guards that can really play, and Bear Maddox and Bartram, and they've got some size with a 6'7" kid in the middle, and so they have some weapons. And Coach Fry does a good job. He's been there a while now and kind of got his stuff established the way they operate. And so it's a tough matchup. It's not an easy game for sure. And let's be honest, we're still trying to get better too here. We won a couple games this week, but we've got plenty of things that we've got to get better at. So by no stretch of the imagination, is this going to be an easy one? We've got to work really, really hard tomorrow night.
Before I forget, is it a triple header tomorrow night?
It is. Megs does not have a freshman team, so we are actually, our freshman team will be playing Uniota.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uniota's coming over, and we're doing this again later in the year. Might be when we play New Hope Academy, I think we're playing like Southeastern's freshman again. So, nice. You know, just to kind of keep the triple header and the rhythm of everything, it's just a way to, you know, rather than do a freshman game on its own night to where like hardly anybody's there and you got to travel. Yeah. And
you're going to have a better gate and it's hopefully just, people from Uniota, they'll stick around, maybe watch the varsity
game. Just easier, yeah. So, but that's the thing. We're still planning to start at 5 o'clock and you know, go from there. So.
Okay, well, with that being said, sounds to me like any Viking fan, first and foremost, forget Meigs' record.
Yeah, that doesn't mean
anything. Because it doesn't mean a lot. And they are completely healthy, you think?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, the last game, everybody played. You know, okay. And it's like with Nalen, you know, sometimes kids play and they're not 100%. You never know, I guess. But as far as I know, yeah, they have everybody back.
One other thing before we get to Alex, because I've had people asking, and I don't know. I know Nevin Yates got the pins taken out of his fingers like a week ago.
Yeah.
And then someone said that he got an infection.
Well, yeah, he just had a couple setbacks. And but, I mean, nothing major, I don't think. It's
where is he?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of day-to-day right now. He's actually practiced a little bit.
Okay.
He's getting some reps in, and we're just trying to get him strong enough, in shape enough and also just making sure we're doing what's best for him. We don't want to do anything too early and put him at risk. So right now, you know, I'm sort of, as a coach, letting his parents and the trainers work that out and kind of let me know when he's available and ready to roll. And you know, hopefully, obviously he'd be a big boost to get him back as well. So, you know, we're looking forward to having him back.
Yeah, well, on the 22nd, this coming Friday night, Coach Jim Kearns and the Alexander Spartans, as they off to an undefeated TBC Ohio League. Actually, I think overall they've only lost one game, and that was their first one on the road at Southeastern, in a game where Southeastern came back to win that. They're coming over here, a triple header.
Yeah.
It is a triple header. Yeah. And here in recent years, you know, Alexander-Vinton County, that rivalry from years, decades back, that's kind of revived itself, and I'm sure that'll be a full house on a Friday night, triple header.
Yeah.
Big game. What can you tell us about the Spartans this year?
Well, they're off to a good start, and they have a good young group of kids, good sophomore class that includes Caleb Terry, who's about 6'9", so they've got some size with him, and Jimmy's son, JK, is off to a nice start, you know, at playing the guard position. And then they've got a couple kids from last year back too. The Davidson kid that killed us over at Alex last year is one of their better guards. And they've got, honestly, I mean, if I sat here and listed all their contributors, they go pretty deep. You know, they've got 8 or 9 kids that can play
very big.
You know, decent. I mean, after obviously Terry, you know, at 6'9", but after that, a little more normal size. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, it's Alexander. It's kind of what they've hung their hat on is just execution and defense and things like that.
Right.
And it's, you know, they're off to a good start doing it. Obviously, like you say, every time we get together anymore, it's a barn burner. It's a battle, you know, and you just come to expect it. And rivalries tend to chase evenly matched teams, you know, and I think over the past few years we've sort of went back and forth with each other a little bit and beat each other up a little bit, and that kind of forms rivalry. So it's a tough week. You know, I've had this week on my calendar for a while, looking at this Meigs Alexander week. Obviously we're glad both of them are at home. That helps a little bit in terms of just, you know, not having to get on a bus and travel and keep your legs a little fresher, hopefully. But nonetheless, it's as challenging of a week as you're going to have.
Well, and the kids, I think their last day of school is Wednesday, so you kind of go into a different dynamic for a week and a half or so, where, you know, you can spend more time practicing and kind of film sessions, doing things like that. You're not constricted on your schedules. But well, a big week for you. We wish you the best. I do want to clear something up real quick, because I got in trouble Friday night.
What was that?
Well, wife. I got.
Red. It wasn't you got in trouble.
I got read the riot.
My
act.
Son is a mooch. Okay.
No, he's a good kid, and he's hungry, and he needed to eat.
He goes and he begs money from people all over the place. And
he didn't have to ask me.
And to be honest with you, I thought he took the money somewhere first. That had me all worked up. And then I he's like, I was like, so where'd you get the money? The man gave it to me. I was like, well, that narrows it down. You know what I mean? Who knows? You don't. Hey, with Brogan, he might walk out in the hallway and ask some total stranger for $10.
He's got a future in sales. Trust me. I know I'm talking to you early Friday morning. You had a wonderful, wonderful professional day at the Vinton County High School doing what you do best.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in a great mood. Yes. The whole day.
That's what I'm saying. And then,
oh, by the way, the banners. Give some props to the custodial staff at the Vinton County High School. Those banners in the gym, they look good.
They do look good.
The power that you wield out there is just amazing. But you were in such a wonderful mood. I mean, I didn't know if you had a root canal Thursday night and came to work the next day without medication. But you were in such a good mood. I go back to talk to you in the office. And not, you know, I don't want to know what's going on, but I said, where's Coach? And NJ says, well, him and Brogan are both in the bathroom. We don't know which one's taking care of the other one. So then Brogy comes out and, you know, customarily, and all I had was a five. I didn't have any ones. So I just gave him the five. And he kind of looked at me like, man, what are you doing? I said, put that in your pocket before your dad finds it. And then someone distracts you, and you throw a temper tantrum, and you're like, well, maybe I might be able to actually coach before the night's over. This is the crap that goes on behind the scenes, folks. Next thing I knew, I'm watching the game, and Amy comes by, and I have all the respect in the world for Amy. Completely different situation than you. And she looks at me, and she's mad. I mean, she's hot.
She wasn't mad at you.
Well, no, but I thought she was. She looks at me, and she's like, did you get Brogan money? And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble now. And I said, yeah, a little. She said, Matt thinks he stole it from his office. And I'm like, okay, it's not me. So I'm sorry.
They were in the training room. I thought, poor Sarah, our trainer, she probably had $5 in her desk or something.
College
next thing
student,
you know, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, we're robbing her blind. So,
well, anyhow, good luck this week.
All right, man.
Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Fa la 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 la. La 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 la. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox, thanks for listening to the podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.